Thou shalt see greater things than these. May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Even in a time of horrors and happenings, 1971 stood out as a tumultuous year. So wrote Philip Henkin of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. The air war in Vietnam escalated and ground combat spread to Laos and Cambodia. India and Pakistan went to war. Algeria nationalized all French oil and gas companies within its borders. 42 people were killed in a 5-day riot at the Attica prison in New York, and violence in Northern Ireland worsened. Charles Manson was convicted of murdering Sharon Tate. The United States devalued the dollar, and President Nixon ordered a 90-day wage and price freeze to curb inflation. The passing of artists and cultural figures as diverse as Igor Stravinsky, Louis Armstrong, Rockwell Kent, and Coco Chanel seemed to signify the end of an era. And in that year, maybe in response to those events, the great maestro Leonard Bernstein wrote his extraordinary Mass. I first came across the piece at the recommendation of my wife. She trained as a flutist at one of London's top conservatoires, and one of the highlights of her time there was when the entire school came together to perform Bernstein's Mass. If you know the work, you will understand that a conservatoire is an excellent institution to mount a performance of this piece because the resources it requires are enormous, making it quite a financial challenge for any regular symphony series or concert hall to promote a performance of it. It's not a liturgical Mass of the kind that blesses us here week by week. It's an oratorio around the Mass, grappling with the complexities of faith in a broken, fallen, challenged world. A world challenged by all the horrible things that go on era by era. But the icing on the cake for my wife and her fellow music students was that this performance was the climax of a week in residence by the great man himself. The performance came at the end of the week, and that afternoon they had the dress rehearsal. Bernstein sat in the concert hall, ignoring the no smoking signs, getting through cigar after cigar, watching the great drama of his music unfold until the final measures came and silence fell. Already at an advanced age, he walked, she tells me, slowly to the concert platform, looked at the performers, and after a pause said, "You angels, you wonderful angels," except this being Maestro Bernstein, of whom I speak, that's not quite the turn of phrase that he used. But if I were to substitute for the word wonderful, which was the impact of what he meant, if I were to substitute the exact word that he used, I'm not sure that Father Turner would invite me back. But as Jesus reminded us, thou shalt see greater things than these, and even perhaps hear them. Today we celebrate that great feast of the church to do with angels. And very sadly, angels in the era in which we live seem to have become a gimmick, a superstition, and a way of making money out of by unscrupulous people on the internet. If you Google, even today, how to get angels to help me, there are all sorts of products and websites on which you can throw away your hard-earned dollars and cents by demonstrating no sense at all. It's good, therefore, to be reminded in the scriptures we hear this morning, to be reminded a little bit more clearly about the role of angels, the role of angels in dealing with good news, the good news that the words of scripture, the good news that God intends for us and for all God's children. For in you, God says to Jacob, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, all of them in you and your offspring. And that is the Lord's message to Jacob. Jacob, who's kind of a messed up guy, let's not forget. That's God's message to Jacob when he has that extraordinary dream, when the ladder is set up between earth and heaven, so that the angels of God, can move between earth and heaven. But did you note the all-important point in that reading from Genesis, quoted in the gospel we heard, given to us twice, that they ascend and then they descend, which may not be what you had been expecting. This feast is not about bewinged asexual creatures with feathers and harps popping down to earth to help us win the lottery or improve our love life or help us get a promotion or anything else like that, despite all the blandishments that you will find out on the internet. This is about those of us who dwell here on the ground floor, here on earth. This is about us being given a vision of good news, of the real good news, the undiluted good news that exists in that place where God's reign is assured, that place which we call heaven. It is good to be with you this morning and bring you greetings from the original and ancient city of York and its breathtaking cathedral, York Minster, of which I have the privilege to be the dean. A number of you, I'm sure, have visited it, and you may know that one of its crowning glories, for me, its ultimate glory, is its great east window. Its great east window, the largest stained glass window in Great Britain, a window based essentially around the revelation to John. It's a work of great drama, the book, and therefore the window. And effectively, it is about telling us that all the bad things that happen, the bad things in the context of which Bernstein wrote his extraordinary mass in 1971, and all the bad things happening today in the Middle East, in Ukraine, across the world, they don't get the last word. They do not get the last word because, complicated to read though the revelation to John is, full of such strange imagery, of numerical codes, of weird monsters and battles and all the rest of it. It's a book written simply to say that you can't keep a good God down and that good news will triumph. It's a book written for those called to be angels. A book written for those of us who, as we gather together in worship, get once again that glimpse of heaven in word and sacrament, a glimpse of God's reign that cannot be overcome. A book written for us who will then be told at the end of Mass not to stay huddled in this beautiful space, but to get out there through the doors and be angelic and proclaim the good news, because we have indeed seen greater things than a man sitting under a fig tree or anything else. I quoted a scholarly program note about Bernstein's Mass from the LA Phil as my opening words. Let me finish with what the man said himself for the original performance in 1971, and I sort of apologize to the man in Los Angeles whose words I quoted, because Bernstein said, "As to any program note of an analytical nature, I hope that none is necessary, since the intention of this work is to communicate as directly and universally as I can a reaffirmation of faith." So I hope that if Bernstein could be with us this morning, he might come and look at us and find us spiritually climbing up and then down Jacob's ladder, convinced of the good news of God's reign that we see in word and sacrament, and that he might say to us, as he said to my wife and her fellow students, "You angels, you angels." Amen.